Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello again. Releasing old patterns and belief systems, letting go of nervousness, realigning with the elemental forces of nature, and stepping into the fullness of who we are, and discovering, or should I say rediscovering, our innate power and potential to co-create more conscious and connected lives for ourselves, our planet, and humanity's future. These are just some of the very real possibilities that lie before us. And with me today to share their insights into how the current energies are supporting us in realizing this are my hand-picked trio of internationally respected authors, speakers, and spiritual facilitators, Jim Self, Lee Harris, and Susie Long. And first up, as always, is founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self, whose course in Mastering Alchemy with its practical energy tools and consciousness-altering lessons shared in his programs and book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, have changed the lives of thousands of people across the globe. Jim Self, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. Delightful to be here, as always.
Jim, you're sounding just a little bit faint all of a sudden. Could you turn your volume up?
Yeah, I'll try to talk louder. I don't know what that is.
That's better. That's much better.
Okay.
So, with so many negative headlines dominating the news these days, optimism seems to be in short supply for many. But as you and I discussed earlier today, if we can look beyond the distractions, we'll see another and much more hopeful side to what's unfolding, one that's offering us an opportunity to realign ourselves with nature and rediscover, you know, the power that we all have to create what we want in life. There are so many opportunities that are unfolding in front of us. And I think that what we're beginning to see, certainly what I'm beginning to see with all the different people that I interview and speak to, is how much magic is back at the forefront.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been talking all along that the earth, the consciousness is really kind of segmenting into two stratas, one of a lot of optimism, possibility, and one where the attention is still on the challenges and the problems, etc. But over the last year or 2 years or so, the noise, the dramas, the shift in the direction of how we've accepted the reality has been so dramatic that the quietness has really not been recognized, I don't think. And one of the things I've noticed in the last couple months, but particularly this month, is as these waves of light are really moving now through each of us, through the earth, one of the aspects is this huge wave of permission. And permission is pretty quiet, but it's creating a sense of what is it you'd like to do, and step into it, and you can do it. One of the things that I watch is many people are very consumed in their beliefs, in their habits, in their agreements with how the world is or how the world should be.
All right, so bye-bye.
This nature of permission is really kind of overlooked or not noticed by many. But there's a lot of help. And when you start to talk about magic, I just came back from doing a conference in Switzerland, high up in the Alps, and that whole region of the world completely believes in fairies. And so you say fairies and isn't that cute? But in real terms, when you start to begin to engage in the spiritual aspects of creation, the aspects of the elementals, the fairies, the ability to illuminate opportunity is what this month, the next month is really all about. It's really tremendous possibilities.
You know, when you talk about, you know, the people who live in the Alps of Switzerland, I am reminded of a wonderful couple who produced an incredible number of books, but one in particular called The Code. And the woman was brought up in the Alps, in the Tyrolean Alps, and they were cut
Yes.
off from the rest, of the people below throughout the winters, and they became so close to nature. The books that they've written about what we can do using nature, and just using this, and it's not really magic. People tend to think of magic as something otherworldly. It's very, very natural. So I'm really pleased to hear you say that is still the case with the people in the Tyrolean Alps. I've interviewed so many people lately talking about magic, people I never thought would talk about magic. Scientists, there are Nobel, laureates who are endorsing books about magic. Magic is real, and I think it's time. There's no better time than now for us to recognize that we can tap into that. It's natural to us. So, tell us a little bit more about how the universe is supporting us in this.
Well, one of the things that has happened to us all is we grow up in a very specific set of structures. The mom, dad, teacher of life basically say, this is true and this isn't. You talk to these, you don't talk to those. You go to this school, you don't go to that school. You live this life, you don't live that life. And the nature of the agreement, which is very unchallenged, we just do what we're supposed to. And that's really gotten us into the world we have been living in for so long. What is beginning to happen is the nature of the truth of how it is supposed to be, third dimension, is really breaking down. And it's breaking down as these waves of light begin to move through each one of us. The DNA is being changed, the aspects of the brain are changing, the perception of thinking and observing from the heart versus the rational mind in the I should do this. People are starting to basically have a sense of themselves in the possibility of well-being. For some, that's really disruptive because it interferes with how I'm supposed to be. But as you begin to allow and move into a little bit more of a state of ease in your life, step away from the news media, step away from the supposed to be. You're starting to see things are much easier. There's much more of a smoothness, a permission that is beginning to be sensed by many people. That is very exciting. And that's really now you're starting to see the shift begin to present itself in ways that hasn't been obvious to others. But right now we're in an odd place, and it's a place where it's kind of starts and stops. You think, oh, this would be great, but oh no, maybe I can't have that. And so you have this step, two steps forward and one step back, a little bit of doubt, uncertainty, and then you find yourself moving forward. So what's in the future is still very challenging on one side, but as you begin to hold your attention in this possibility and permission, I think people are going to start to find some guidance and smoothness in moving through their life.
I think, looking forward at the future, people getting confused, getting upset, getting scared, that's really all fear. And that in itself is an energy. For as long as I've known you, you've been talking about us, everything is conspiring to help us let go of who we are not and remember who we are. And I think what's happening now is the perfect opportunity, for all of those belief systems to be cracked open, because we're seeing that in the external world. We're seeing people lose their faith in every structure that they thought defined life on Earth.
Yeah,
So
very
it's being
much.
reflected back at us.
It is being reflected back very nicely. There's an aspect though, and when I've said this a number of times between you and I and on different conversations we've had publicly, and people get upset with me with this comment, and it's not meant to be insulting in any way. But one of the things that the spiritual community does, this metaphysical community, this people who are really are in their heart. But there's something that I kind of define as horizontal spiritualism, I read a book and then I go see my friend and I talk about it and then I Facebook back and forth and I have all this entertainment. But entertainment, engaging in talking about, is not engaging in action. And one of the things that is necessary from my point of view, anyway, in terms of allowing us to take charge of resetting the world in the direction that we're all intending, is the necessity for people to engage, to step into their creativeness, basically believe they can be the creator and engage with it rather than talking about how it's going to be someday. And that piece is right now very important to begin to really shift the direction that is opening up for everybody.
That's interesting, isn't it? You know, many, many people are wishing that they could do something to change the way, you know, things are unfolding in the external world, other than just get mad and frustrated. Being in action doesn't always mean getting out there and marching. You know, often it means just switching something within yourself.
Very much that something is the attention point. It's believing. It's owning the belief, not hoping for the belief, not wishing for the belief. It really is standing up and present yourself in this level of light that's very much being presented to each of us. It's an ownership. It's a demonstration. It's really be certain as a vibration in your space. Own it. Happy, certain, capable. All of those words are constructs of energy that define a person's capacity to shift the direction we're going. And it's something that would be very helpful at this point to be engaged in.
You know, it's very easy when people say things to, I think words are so useless because we have overused them to the point that people have set ideas about the meaning of a word and they dismiss some of the words that they hear. But words like action, words like you just said, you know, being capable and certain, words like permission are so important. And yet we just, you know, we might as well dismiss them as we dismiss an end and a but. We just don't give them the attention they deserve. I've noticed when I give my permission, myself permission, and it has to come from me to me, to step out of a funk, an energy, a vibrational space that is holding me down. When I do that, magic really does occur.
Very much. Absolutely very much. You know, let me go back to something we just talked about, this whole issue of magic. There's something called biogeometry, a man named Ibrahim Kreem, an Egyptian man, and very kind, very soft. And what he's basically doing is saying, you know, if you draw lines, put dots, set the energy this way, and just geometry, literally lines and dots, you basically change the flow of energy. There was a situation in Switzerland where the Swisscom telecommunications had set up some large towers, and the people were getting really sick from these towers. And it was very clear it was the towers, it wasn't anything else. And he went in, and they requested him to come in, and he basically just put some stakes in the ground, put dots on the stakes, set them in certain places based on the geometry, and the community got well. And so you can call that magic, you can call it whatever you want, but there is old lore that very real that is beginning to come into the reality. The fairies have been on the sidelines for a long time, in a way rightfully so, because they were very insulted. They have now come back, and in the coming back, they're making it really clear. We are about illuminating the light, raising the vibration beyond anything you've imagined. They are now engaged. So you're watching this tremendous magic, if you would, begin to be conscious in the hearts of humans.
Yes, and isn't it interesting how many people are feeling drawn back to nature You know, the Japanese back in the 80s started this thing called forest bathing, and now it's become, you know, a big buzzword. And we're hearing, so, you know, we're hearing heart surgeons talking about earthing, just connecting with the ground, you know, and how that actually changes our bodies, changes our chemistry when we do that. So again, you know, I think it's really important that people understand none of this is, you know, just fairy tale. It is very, very real.
No, and it's as simple as when you go for a walk in the woods, be in the woods. Don't be in your head. You know, we go for a walk to get out of what I'm sitting there spinning it through my mind as I go for my walk. It really is, go sit on the log, sit on the rock, throw rocks into the creek, and just be consumed by watching the splash from the rock. It's such a healing right now in this huge word, permission, that's beginning to move through everybody's space. And the permission is allowing the healing to take place.
Yeah, so this is the action. You know, I think many people feel, oh, I've got to do more meditation. I've got to somehow change myself. I've got to do visualization. I've got to do whatever, whatever. But these are the kinds of actions that we can take that are beneficial to all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's an action. It's simply engaging and enjoying yourself. Really simple. There's a distinction, you know, one of the tools in Mastering NLP, really kind of the simplest of all the tools, is put a dot, put a line, put a kind of a division right on the edge of your aura, and we call it a rose, and basically pull your energy to your side of that point on the edge of your aura, and allow the theater, Shakespeare's theater is on the other side. That distinction allows discernment, and the discernment begins to allow you to recognize, I am not that. I am something else. I am beginning to be aware of myself by simply a discernment.
Mm-hmm. Jim, as always, thanks for the reminder. We really need lots of them. And have a great month, and we'll speak to you again next month.
Thanks, Sandy. My pleasure.
Bye.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to What is Going On's Energy and Integration series, and welcome also to energy guide, channeler, artist, author, and very talented musician, Lee Harris. Lee, hello.
Hi, Sandy. Great to be with you.
You too. Your energy report this month featured some very interesting topics: reverse polarity, nervous energy, standing for oneness and humanity, tender-heartedness, and changes in the way time is functioning. Tell us more.
Well, I don't know about you, but it was a very busy June, I felt. And wherever I looked, whoever I spoke to, and also some of my own experiences, it really was a bit of a cyclone energy in June. And so much shifted that by the time I came to do the energy update for July, I wanted to address some of the things that had gone on recently and some of the things that were coming up in the future. And I'll pick up on the tender-heartedness piece, because that was something that seems to be showing up quite strongly. I think we all know that part of the shift of consciousness that we go through is that relationship changes happen. And, you know, friendships change, business partnerships change, romantic relationships change. And what I've been seeing play out with a lot of people around me, and I've also seen this in my own life, is a lot of more subtle adjustment going on in people's agreements and the way they're showing up in their partnerships, friendships. Not necessarily people leaving their loved ones, but a real change in the balance of power and the balance of heart when it comes to relationships. So whether that's a couple who get very honest about something that's difficult for them, but it actually moves them into a transformation, or two friends who have to, you know, go through something together to learn and to move on. That seems to have been really at a high in a lot of the people and groups and clients that I've worked with in the last couple of months. So this tender-heartedness is really the place that we are all ultimately coming back to, or seeking to get back to. As we know, any relationship problem or dilemma that we go through is usually a replay of some place that our heart didn't get its needs met or couldn't remain present in either our earlier life or sometimes other lifetimes. So I've been seeing a real shift around that go on, and equally a lot of tender-heartedness from people towards issues that they are seeing play out in the wider world that are literally breaking their hearts. You know, if people are looking at inhumane action from leadership or other sources, that people's hearts are breaking open. So this tender-heartedness is a really strong energy right now, and how it can show up for you is some of the areas I've just described. Or it might just be that, you know, you need to be really sensitive and really quiet a lot more than usual, which has been going on for several years, but there seems to be a peak energy around tender-heartedness going on right now for sensitive folk.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the thing that's been concerning me is the more things polarize in the world out there, the more awful things we hear, the more heartbreak people have, the more inclined some people are to just, you know, the compassion fatigue becomes so great that they shut off because they can't cope anymore.
Yeah, and yet the interesting thing is we can't shut off for too long. You know, it's hard for us to fully shut down as people, as feeling people. But I love what you say, because I think it is a truth for people, and I think that's often where people learn to hook out from what they're seeing around them, or they go, okay, I need to not look at any news or anything for a few days just to reset. But I think the other side of it too is that it's really helping people find their boundary. That's the irony of it. And when I've channeled disease, they've said that the positive of this polarized time for sensitive, soul-led people is they are learning how to own their own boundary and their own energy field in a way that before they may have got immersed in everyone else's. And I mentioned something near the end of this month's energy update, which is a lot of the time the empaths, the soul-led people that I work with or meet, there tends to be a feeling of I've got to save everybody, or I've got to save the world, or I've got to save the planet. And of course, none of us can do that. None of us can save the world or the planet, even if we have the best intentions to do so. But there's something in sensitive people, energetically attuned people, that they really acutely feel pain, or they feel the pain of others or the world or their own. And so those people who are here to try and help make the world a better place and alleviate some of that suffering or challenge, this is a really interesting time to be alive, because it can either overload you and overwhelm you, or it can make you go, okay, I suddenly see that this is an impossible goal. But what I can do is focus on today or this next moment or this next hour or this one person, or most importantly, in this moment, maybe myself. You know, maybe I'm okay to just take 24 hours away from serving all the people that I normally serve or the mission that I think I'm serving. So there's something about that too. It's a sobering time for sensitives, but ultimately it's a time for sensitives to really come to understand themselves, because if you're the kind of person who feels the energy of the world, then right now it's really on fire in terms of the energy. So it actually creates an importance for you to really go, okay, this is how I self-manage and self-care and how I create balance. And I realize that I need to have some boundaries around those things so that I can be of use to myself, my life, my loved ones, and the world at large.
Let's go back for a minute to this, the changes in the way time is functioning, the speed effect. I mean, it's really true over and again, and I'm seeing this everywhere, that you know, people are saying things like, wow, last month was a very busy year, because that's what it feels like, that we're living an entire year's worth month.
Yeah.
Speak to that a little bit.
Well, it always makes me laugh, and who knows, I may have said this on one of the shows with you over the months, but you know, the Z's always used to say to me, the Z's are who I channel, and they always used to say, you're going to, this was back in like mid-2000s, like 2005, they'd say, the world is going to get very emotional. They said, you'll see, once you go beyond 2012, the world is going to get very emotional. And I completely misinterpreted that and thought, oh, that sounds lovely, how wonderful. You know, everyone's going to be...
yeah, but, love and light.
Exactly. I thought, oh, everyone will be holding hands. And no. You know, and it's funny because I spoke to them about that a little while ago, and they were saying, no, this is the calibration period, because so much in who we are as human beings, and I loved what Jim was talking about with law coming back and magic and the natural ancient magic on the planet coming back, is that we're remembering who we were, but it's a shock, because in remembering who we were, it's like waking up from an amnesia. And so the speed of everything is allowing people to literally cycle through what some might experience as lifetimes of growth, and some might experience as years of growth in 1 year. So if you think about it, traditionally, we as people, we're here on a human journey through our lives, and we're growing and we're evolving, and that's the path for all of us. But the fact that everybody's doing it so fast at the moment, the only destination when you do that kind of ride is more and more expansive people than before. At the moment, it's a little messy, and I'll say that with some qualification, though. I think for a lot of people at the moment, it can be pretty magical and pretty alive. And the one caveat I've noticed in people around me, people I've worked with, and I noticed this for myself, is if you don't find your own center of gravity within this speed and find the place that is comfortable for you, it doesn't feel very magical. Then it's like being, you know, dragged behind a car down a freeway. But if you know every now and then you've got to get off the speed, or you've got to step out of it, or you've got to now de-stimulate and you've got to make sure you're centered, then when you re-enter, it's much easier for you to retain that level of synchronicity and magic. It's very quickly found at the moment, and it's very quickly lost. So this is what I mean really by this call to, what do you as an individual need to stay centered more of the time? And I will say, no judgment with that too, because I think often, you know, people will say, well, meditation and yoga, and, you know, sometimes it's 2 hours of Netflix and a documentary, or just something that's going to shift your focus, because people's minds are going so fast at the moment, that it's really important to sometimes give the mind a distraction as well. So that's why I say no judgment. For one person, it might be yoga. For another person, it might be just sitting down and watching a movie for 2 hours, but it will shift their energy back to center. So it's a very interesting, unpredictable, I believe unprecedented time for all of us, because we have no map for how to get through this kind of thing in our generation.
Yeah, too true. Tell me a bit more about the reverse polarity that you refer to.
Yes, well, that was interesting to me too. So the idea of the reverse polarity, as it was given to me the day I was doing the update, it was kind of two ideas. The idea that you might notice yourself doing things that seem to be the opposite of who you usually are or were. So, for example, I think there was an example in the energy update given. Let's say you normally argue with your sister and it doesn't go very well when you argue and she always kind of wins and you come out feeling awful. It might be that you have an argument with your sister that's a normal historical pattern for you, and you change the dynamic of the argument by standing up to her in a way that she hears, and it shifts the dynamic and you both walk away a bit shocked going, oh, wow, that's not what normally happens. So you might find yourself in action or in words or in experiences or relationships surprising yourself with the things that you're doing or saying, and that's part of the reverse polarity. The other side of the reverse polarity, if you're not experiencing it in that way, is simply speed. So if you are a fast person, you might be saying to yourself, God, I've got no energy and I just need to go really slowly and I don't know why. And if I try and go at my normal speed, everything's going wrong. And vice versa, people who normally perhaps are more meditative or slow or will find it easy to speed up at this time. So that was given to me the morning of the energy update. And it's interesting because when I'm given these messages, of course, I don't really know how they apply to people, but I've been surprised to see in all the comments on the energy update how many people are experiencing that very thing.
Well, honestly, when I read it, I thought you'd been peeking in on my life, talking about me and my sister.
All right. Then you're not the first person who said that either, Sandy. I saw a few other people say that about the sister example. So, yeah.
Yeah. So all of this, obviously, you know, it's no wonder that there is so much nervousness being felt by everybody,
yes.
As you say.
Yeah. And yeah, that was a bit of an interesting one to me. I was doing a retreat in Boone in the Art of Living Center in early June, and there's a channeled message and a sound healing that we just released called Birthing a New Earth. And in that, the Z's spoke about the worldwide nervous energy. And that was the first I'd heard of it. But the way that they explained it, I came away from the channel and I thought, oh, that makes total sense to what I'm seeing going on. And so it felt important to bring that up in the energy update. Yeah, this nervous energy that is crackling. I think it's why some of the relationship stuff is up. I think, you know, usually when we haven't identified we're running nervous energy, we put it into a relationship or an activity, or, you know, we get in the car and drive and accidentally hit another car because we're not quite paying attention. You know, there are all kinds of ways that nervous energy can show up in our lives. But the fact that it's a collective thing at the moment, which is, I believe, you know, definitely down to some PTSD about how people are processing the rapid changes in the world, and certainly in certain areas of the world where power is concerned and how things are playing out. And, you know, we've already mentioned the inhumanity that we're seeing. I think that creates a sense of anxiety in people's safety, well-being, which on the one hand many argue is exactly what's needed at this time to open people up and help people wake up. I come at it from a slightly more feeling, empathic place, so what I'm very aware of is the ramifications of that process for people and what can get stirred up in them as they're going through that awakening.
I love what you say in your newsletter about, you know, being mindful of how this energy, you know, is creating fear within us, and being mindful of the decisions we make and ask ourselves, is my fear driving this decision or my heart? I mean, that's a beautiful thing for us to come back to. It's a great yardstick, isn't it?
It is. And I again, I don't know about you, Sandy, and what you're noticing, but I'm really, this is where I agree with what Jim said about, he was speaking about the speed of things in a different way, but I'm really noticing, I liked what you said about clearing your energy. It's like you said, if I make a decision to shift something, it's amazing how quickly it will. But we have to be really on our game, because at the moment, the speed of it is making it such that if you don't pay attention, and if you're not conscious when you say yes to big things, it can definitely put you into some very quick learning lessons. So I think the good thing is, if you say yes to something you should probably have said no to, it's going to go one of two ways. The universe is going to quickly rearrange it for you so that it falls apart and, you know, no milk will be spilt. The other side is, you know, you might start to walk into it and fight and try and make something work that clearly you should just be stepping away from. And so for me, that's that question. Did my fear choose this, or did my heart choose this? Because they're so close at the moment, it seems. And of course, that makes sense, because tender-heartedness is a very open, vulnerable space. So we tend to get fear come up if we get very open or vulnerable, because we haven't traditionally been taught that's a safe way to be. But equally, too much fear will make people shut their hearts down. So it's very knife-edge energy. But I think the gift of this time is it really makes us be present and conscious in an all-new way.
It is knife-edge energy, and I think, you know, one of the hardest things for anyone to do, me included, is when you are in that trough, it's really hard to switch your mindset and motivate yourself to get out of it.
And I think that's true for all of us. I think that's part of the human condition, and usually it's because the emotions have gone to the mind. So the emotions and the feeling state has traveled up to the mind, which is a small space in the body compared to the torso. And it's trying to go round and round and round and round and solve it. So a good thing to do that I've try and apply all the time is I negotiate with myself. I say, okay, you can come back to this difficult thought in 10 minutes, just go and walk around the block. So if you can negotiate with yourself in those moments, it usually only takes 5 or 10 minutes of doing something slightly different. But unfortunately, the way that we're wired, we do tend to have to give ourselves negotiation points, rules. That's just the human, it seems to be the human condition so far on Earth. But I do believe we have an opportunity, all of us, to work with that and move through it. And I don't think it's a problem that it's there. I think it's that we just have to learn strategies and ways to work with it.
Yeah, one strategy that's always worked for me is something Jim Self told me, and that is really about switching your energy, which, as you just said, can be done as easily as taking a walk. Yeah. Lee, we're out of time. I love talking with you. We always run out of time.
thank you so much, Sandy,
for sharing your wisdom and insights today, and we'll see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Lee. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration Series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and welcome back to Susie Miller. And Susie, we always seem to be running out of energy. I do it with Lee every time. Not energy, I mean time. and I've done it with you too. So what I'd like to do is switch it around a little bit this month, because I know you're an absolute whiz at helping us stabilize and integrate the energies. And I would think that right now our mental and emotional bodies are going crazy. So, you know, by all means, say a few words about that. But I'd really like to do an energy and integration session at the beginning rather than the end, so we don't miss any of it.
I think that's fair enough. Yeah, I think that, you know, between what Jim and Lee were both saying, I mean, it's very clear that we've got this juxtaposition between this opportunity to really create magic in our lives, but also this same, almost this, I won't necessarily disturb energy, but we've got a lot of energy moving through our mental, emotional, bodies.
Susie, we're hearing a lot of feedback.
Oh,
we're
I am echoing.
Twice over.
I know, I am. I know, I'm hearing you guys clever too. What can I do to make it better?
Well, I don't. Maybe it's not coming from your phone. Maybe it's just the energy.
Well, as I was saying, there were two things happening simultaneously right now. So maybe that fixed it right there. So, yeah, actually it did. I don't hear myself echoing anymore. So, you know, we've got the magic that's available to us right now. And then we also have kind of these big waves of energy, this chaotic energy moving through our systems, helping to dismantle those places within us that keep us from being the magic that we are. So I thought we'd do a little bit of mental, emotional, physical body alignment work so that we can get back to the magic. Okay?
Yes. Does that sound good? Yep, go ahead.
Oh, did I lose you all together? Okay, good. All right. So if everybody knows, relax for a second. Just, I know there's all kinds of energy moving and going on. So just allow yourself to start breathing into the body. And just inhale, exhale. When you inhale, give yourself permission to just sit right now. Breathe in, presence. And exhale presence as well. So inhaling presence and exhaling presence. You've got a lot of both. So, all right, inhaling and exhaling presence. And let's stabilize this energy a little bit more, because we're still fluctuating. It's fluctuating on the call. All right, there we go. So let's go into the mental body first. And we're going to go into the mental body with presence. So all you're doing is you're taking your presence into the mental body, and you're commanding that mental body to stabilize based on your presence. You're using presence to stabilize the mental body. So you're just breathing into the mental body. All right. So energy. There are still a lot of old stories coming up. There are still, this amount of energy coming through is triggering old stories. So anywhere where you have old stories, belief systems, lineage patterns that really are not going to allow you or support you in being the magic that you actually are, I want you to imagine that you're just asking all of that information, commanding all of that information to come up and out of the mental body. And I want you to see it go to here in front of you. And I want you to put a blue star right in the center of that sphere. And you're going to use that blue star to spin out all of that mental noise, all the noise of the story that never belonged to you in the first place. And just keep spinning it until you see that sphere go clear. And you're going to bring that sphere right back into the star. That blue star is your totality. It's you. It's your presence. and drop that little blue star right in the mental body and implode it into billions of frequencies of light. You're restructuring. Oh, there you go. Everything just, it was like a nice deep collective inhale and exhale. Everybody just relaxed for a second. They got the opportunity to feel what it's like to not have a story for a second. Okay, so we've imploded that into the mental body into billions of frequencies of light. We're restructuring the mental body. So now let's move to the emotional body. So, you know, as Lee was saying, the emotional body is a little edgy right now. And right, so when our stories are getting messed, you know, when the things that we hold so dear and true to ourselves, the things that we, you know, fight for, we actually say, no, this is me, this is important, you know, this is how I identify myself. Our emotions get engaged very quickly when that part of us is being threatened by all of this presence that's trying to come in. So let's go right into the emotional body, breathing presence into the emotional body and exhaling presence out. Inhaling presence into the emotional body and exhaling it out. So Jim was thinking about dots and lines, showing me is all of these different geometric patterns that you're holding in the emotional body, where the emotions almost fight for your right to have limitations, right? So, but, you know, really, do we want to continue with those stories and those limitations? Do we want to get emotional about that kind of information? So breathing presence into the emotional body, exhaling it out. Breathing it in and exhaling it out. And anywhere where the emotional body is still really anchored and attached to certain expressions of self, let's go ahead and pull all of that information out. It looks like an entanglement. It looks like a mess. A messy entanglement, right? And place it into the sphere out in front of you. Add that blue star to it. And spin that blue star throughout all of that information. All of this, our emotions, our thoughts, even our physicality, it's all just energy in a certain configuration. So you are dismantling what you've actually made matter in the emotional body by using this blue star to spin out everything in that sphere. Keep going. There's lots of emotional energy there. There we go. All right, go ahead and collapse that sphere into that blue star. Beautiful, radiant, magical blue star. Just like you plucked it out of the sky. There you go. And then drop that back into your emotional body and implode it into billions of frequencies of light. Beautiful. Okay, so we've got some hearts racing. We've got some adrenaline moving. It's almost like there's this positioning between excitement, exhilaration, and what the heck is happening kind of thing. So let's go right down into the physical body. The physical body holds all kinds of imprints, implants, templates, programs. The body's hardwired in some ways to maintain a certain expression, okay? We're not going to be able to jiggle that all loose in one call, but let's at least start creating some wiggle room, right? Some space, so that there's space to choose. So I want you to imagine that you're seeing your body as having templates in it, or patterns, geometric shapes, however you're seeing it. A lot of times I'll see it like a computer program. And you're just going to ask the body to release as much of the computer program, as much of the programming as it can, right here, right now. Just for the sake of really demonstrating to yourself that you actually are magic. Right? So you're releasing it from the cellular memory, you're releasing it from the DNA, all of this is coming up and out. And you're going to put all of that information into a sphere. There you go. Yeah, a lot of you just want to dump all that information. That part's going pretty easily, actually. So put it all into a sphere and add that blue star. There you go. Spin out all that information. Spin it all out. It's literally chunks of information. Some of you have like done a huge data dump, which is awesome. Just spin it all out. No longer needs to exist just because you say so. And because you're magic. And because without all these patterns, you've got the space to create something new. Okay, so your blue star, that, spin it all out. We're going to compress it all back down into that blue star. And I want you to take that blue star and drop it right into your heart in the physical body and implode that into billions of frequencies of light. There you go. All right. Don't think we have time for a whole lot more, but just go ahead and start breathing again. Presence into the body, presence out. Just kind of notice your before and after. Breathe presence in, exhale it out. And really giving yourself permission to walk as presence, to walk in presence. In the woods, as you're talking to friends, anywhere you go. Right? You can be that magic anywhere. All right, beautiful. So, Miss Sandy, are you still with us?
I'm still with you. I always say this. I'll say it again. The threads between yours and Jim's and Lee's. You all are looking at the same thing and offering us different aspects to think about and to work with for the coming month. We talked about confusion, and Lee talked about this reverse polarity, you know, with things kind of moving around and having different reactions than we normally do. I noticed in your monthly update you talked about some parts of us maybe engaging in internal arguments with our programming, and other parts might be, you know, feeling quite different about it. Could you just say a little bit about that before we leave, Susie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as this literally presence energy is working its way through our physical, mental, and emotional experience, it's kicking up these kind of core beliefs, I would say, these core patterns. And so as Lee was saying, we go to act out one of those patterns, but those patterns, it doesn't come back to us the way it did before. I mean, in my world, you know, there's nothing on the outer landscape that isn't in the inner landscape. So all of a sudden we get ready to experience or express in a particular way, and it meets with a different kind of response. And it meets a different kind of response because that presence energy has reoriented our physical, mental, and emotional programming. And it's moving so fast right now that sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are very different than they typically would have been. And it's not until we see it in the outer landscape that we think, wow, I've really changed. You know, it's like I really understand that I've changed. Does that make sense? It's like that this energy is moving so quickly and going so deeply that it's not until somebody's, you know, yeah, responding differently to you that you kind of go, oh, I'm different. I see things from a different vantage point.
Thank you for that, Susie. Just before we say goodbye, could you tell our listeners about your monthly energy integration and balance sessions? Because if they enjoyed what they just experienced, they can have even more of it. So, share that with us.
Yeah, the first Monday of every month is just an opportunity to look at the energetics of that month, do some pretty detailed energy work to support whatever is coming up at the time. And then, it's followed up by a blog or an article that gives information about what took place so that people can, you know, kind of use whatever the skill sets are that they learned about on those calls or on that call throughout the rest of the month. So it works really well.
And people can register for that on your website at susiemiller.com.
That's right. That's right, they can. Yeah. It's wild and beautiful and kind of crazy energy right now. And I think that the sooner that we are all able to kind of really give ourselves permission to align with the mental, emotional, and physical experience, physical bodies, it makes it that much easier for us to stay present. I mean, whatever it takes, like Lee was saying, if, you know, you want to take a walk in the woods or if you want to watch, you know, 3 hours of videos, which I did this afternoon, you know, it's like whatever just allows you to be present, to stay with yourself, mind, body, and spirit.
Okay, Susie Miller, that's all we have time for. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you next month. You're listening to the Energy and Integration Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. We'll be back again next month, the first Thursday of the month. I hope you'll join us. In the meantime, hold on to your hat and take a walk in nature. That's all for me.